Welcome to another episode of Follow the Brand. I am your host, Grant McGaugh, CEO of Five Star BDM, a five-star personal branding and business development company. I want to take you on a journey that takes another deep dive into the world of personal branding and business development using compelling personal story, business conversations, and tips to improve your personal brand. By listening to the Follow the Brand podcast series, you will be able to differentiate yourself from the competition and allow you to build trust with prospective clients and employers. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. Make it one that will set you apart, build trust, and reflect who you are. Developing your five-star personal brand is a great way to demonstrate your skills and knowledge. If you have any questions for me or my guests, please email me at grant.mcgaugh, spelled M-C-G-A-U-G-H, at 5-star BDM, B for brand, D for development, M for masters.com. Now let's begin with our next 5-star episode on Follow the Brand. Welcome to the Follow Brand Podcast. I am your host, Grant McGaugh, CEO of 5-Star BDM, where we help you to build a 5-star brand that people will follow. I welcome you to a pivotal moment that heralds not just insight, but a profound change in our approach to leadership. I am delighted to guide you through what promises to be an enlightening exploration of leadership's true essence. We are incredibly honored to host Dalton Scholl III, a beacon of visionary leadership and a catalyst for genuine empowerment and upliftment. Dalton, the genius behind Leadership Dynamics International LLC, stands out not merely for his achievements, but for his unique ability to inspire, empower, and elevate those around him. His work, Leadership Dynamics, the Principles of Leadership, transcends the ordinary, offering us a manifesto for integrity-driven and purposeful leadership. We extend a heartfelt invitation to our valued listeners to actively engage in this journey. Dalton will share with us not only the foundations of building flourishing teams, but also the significance of valuing every individual's unique contribution towards collective triumph. Our discussion will delve into the critical aspects of fostering an environment where collaboration and respect reign supreme, truly embodying the spirit of leadership. Dalton's remarkable journey is a testament to the impact of visionary leadership. His expertise in transforming teams into examples of success and his compelling written contributions have illuminated the path for aspiring leaders worldwide. And as we embark on this discussion, let's remain open to the lessons Dalton has to impart, ready to apply these insights to our personal and professional growth. We encourage you to immerse yourself in the wisdom Dalton brings. Engage with his insight, reflect on his experiences, and consider how these lessons can be woven into the fabric of your leadership journey. Let us welcome to the Follow Brand Podcast, the visionary, the mentor, the change leader, Dalton Scholl III. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Follow Brand Podcast. I am your host, Grant McGaugh. And I get an opportunity today to talk about leadership. I'm big on leadership. I'm big on innovation. I'm big on industry leaders that are bringing us knowledge, information, and wisdom that we can utilize, especially as we go into this 2024 arena. Where do we sit? Who do we talk to? How do we get the advice to solve some of the pressing problems of our day? So I want to introduce you to Dalton. I'll let Dalton introduce himself. We're going to have a candid conversation about Dalton, his career, and what big problem he wants to solve for all of us. Dalton, you'd like to introduce yourself? Well, good afternoon, Grant. Good afternoon to everybody tuned in. My name is Velton Schowell, and I'm the third. There was a senior, there was a junior, and believe it or not, there's a fourth. So I have to make that distinction. And all of us have had tremendous lives and tremendous careers. But I'm excited about being here today, Grant, and just giving you a little insight as to not just my name, but who am I behind the name?
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about leadership. You're known for leadership. You have a brand identity that has been established for a few decades now. You're an author. You've written books. You've talked about leadership. You have a style, a strategy, a philosophy. Talk to us a little bit about how you feel about leadership.
Well, you know, it's interesting because everybody's a leader, whether they realize it or not. The first person in life that you lead is yourself. But when you expand outside of that arena into a broader scope or a broader scale, and you start to interact and encounter other people, there's only two roles. There's either a follower or there's a leader. And just because you have a title doesn't make you a leader. I've been in more organizations and in more companies where the unofficial leader is more powerful than the actual person with the title. So leadership is not about being promoted. Leadership is not about wearing the badge or the title. Leadership is primarily, and this is what I really focus on, is how other people see you, how other people perceive you. One of my favorite quotes is by Maya Angelou, and it says, "People may forget what you say, people may forget what you do, but they will never forget how you make them feel." And leaders make people feel positive. Leaders make people feel good about themselves and good about the leader, because they feel as though they're in an environment where they're celebrated, not tolerated, which is one of my key phrases that I love. But they also understand that it's not about them, but it's about the people they've been entrusted to lead.
100% on that. 100%. That is what a leader does. People want to follow them. You don't have to go out and find followers. People just naturally will follow a leader. You've been doing a lot around champions, you know, leader in inspiring champions, maybe developing champions. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, there's only one thing that people value in life more than money, and that's winning. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be a winner. Nobody wants to be a loser. But think about it this way. If I want to win and you want to win, do we win together or do we become competitors and win separately? Mm-hmm. How far can we go if we both have an agenda of winning, but one agenda doesn't coincide with the other agenda? There was a famous, one of my favorite basketball coaches. I think he said it better than I've ever heard it said. And I'm not sure if you're a basketball fan.
Come on now.
All right. Now, what's your team? You have to tell me.
Well, the Miami Heat, right here.
Okay. All right. Well, don't get offended at what I'm going to say.
I will never be offended.
But this coach coached multiple NBA championship teams in two different cities. Mm-hmm. And the first team that he coached, he said to them, good teams become great when the players learn to trust each other enough to replace me with we.
Wow. Yeah.
So think about that for a minute. As a leader, and you have a group of individuals that are there to accomplish a goal. The goal is winning a championship. They all have their own personal agendas. They all have their own salaries. They already all have their own ideas of what it means to be successful. How do you create an environment where we is more important than me? That's how you win championships. That's how you create dynasties. Mm. That's how you perpetuate excellence. And that's what I really focus on when I talk to organizations, corporations about leadership and what it means.
for many years, I was sent to these workshops, and you've probably been to some of them too. And they said, what's your leadership style? Yeah. What's your leadership style? We're going to give you a test to determine what your leadership style is. And as I sat there and I watched and I started to ask myself the question, is my leadership style that important? Is the leadership style that they're trying to identify or tell me that I am appropriate for every situation? And I came up with the understanding and ideology that leaders have to be chameleons. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to change your leadership style based on the circumstances that you've been thrust into. Now, you may have a dominant style, but your dominant style may not be conducive to the circumstances at hand. So more important than your leadership style, and check this out, is the learning style of the people you've been entrusted to lead. How do they process information? When you're talking to them, are you reaching them? When you're attempting to lead them, are they following you? Or are they looking at you like they looked at Charlie Brown's teacher on the old Peanuts comic? Yeah, exactly. So the question becomes, do you take the time to understand who they are and what they're about? It's not about me. It's about we.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I'm listening to you, Belton. This is important because, you know, I do a lot of branding. Do some marketing. I've been in business development for a number of years, and you have to communicate. You have to have a communication strategy. There's so many different media now in order to communicate. Where before maybe there was one, two, three, like the channels of TV station back in the 60s and 70s. You only had three. Now it's on cable. Right? It's on steroids. There's so many different. So how do you gain attention? So people are actually paying attention, and you verify that this is what I said, but is that what you heard? And I need to understand what you heard or how you interpreted what you thought I said because of the attention span and other things. 100% of what you said might have been 50% misinterpreted. What are you doing around communication strategies?
Well, you know, communication, it's interesting. You know, I was in sales and marketing for 27 years. And it's one of the biggest things that people always said is the best salespeople are the best talkers. They can tell you what it is they want to tell you. And many times salespeople, they tell you what they want to tell you. They tell you, then they tell you what they're selling you.
Yeah.
In this day and age, you've got 2 to 3 seconds to get somebody's attention. And more times than not, it's not about you trying to sell them anything. Mm-hmm. The most powerful thing is to ask the right question. People move based on two things. The first thing that makes people move is pain. Okay. People don't move unless there's pain associated with it. I don't want to take a lot of time on this, but there's an old story. There were two old men that used to sit on the porch every Sunday afternoon and rock and talk. We're getting to the age where we'll end up doing that one day, Grant, down here in South Florida. We can do it all year long down
there. I look forward to it.
But one Sunday, the old man was sitting there and his dog was laying over there and his dog was howling. And the other guy walks up the street and he says, "Man, don't you hear that dog over there howling?" He said, "Yeah, I hear him." He said, "Woo. Well, when are you going to take the dog to the vet and find out what's wrong with him?" "Ah, he's all right." "He's all right. He sounds like he's dying over there, man. And I can't even sit down and enjoy myself." He said, "He's okay. Don't worry." He said, "How do you know?" He said, "He's like most people. He's laying on a tack. And until the pain gets to the point where he can't bear it anymore, he won't move."
Mm.
So when you're talking about reaching people, how can you recreate in their mind that pain that they had? and how you are going to give them some relief. How does your product, good, or service relieve them from the pain that they're having? Mm-hmm. So it's not about selling. It's about creating a mindset and solving a problem or fulfilling a need. If you can solve a problem, I ask entrepreneurs this all the time. You're in business, you're creating this business. What business does your problem solve? Because when you determine what your business, what problem your business solves, now you have identified your market.
Right.
Because the people who have that problem now have a need for your service. But if you don't know what problem you solve, then you're guessing, you're taking a guess at what you should be doing and what you should be saying and how you should be presenting it to the marketplace.
So true. 100% true on that. And I see that over and over again. People, they skip steps. Mm-hmm. They start a process, let's say, of marketing before they've done anything around identity or done any kind of real research. Like, well, okay, have you identified the problem? I see this so much. Now, I've been 25 years in information technology. I got exposed to so many companies, so many brands, so many different solutions. And they would come out with the marketing, and I would look at that and say, well, this is all about me, 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 me. What business problem are we solving? And what will people really resonate or actually pay attention to? What they want? A lot of people are like, I want you to identify with me that you understand I'm in pain. Like, wow, are you experiencing this? Is this you? And you're like, you get it. You understand me. All right, you got my full attention.
You got my full attention. And, you know, I have a very good friend that I work with, Trevor Ott, and he says that people pay you three ways. And it's called the rule of I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First with their information, second with their action, third with their money. Take it out of order, you'll cut your revenue by 80%.
Mm-hmm.
And their information means that they're willing, they've got enough interest in what you are providing that they will give you their name and their email address and their phone number so that they can now communicate with you, or you can, they're hoping that you reach out to them. Second, after they've given you that information, they'll take some kind of action towards your product, your program, or the information that you're sending. They'll go to your website, they'll take a look, they want to know more about you. They'll do both of those things before they're even willing to write a check, swipe a credit card, or anything like that. But the question goes back to, how did I cultivate that interest to get them to take action? You know, we're talking about leadership. In a leadership mindset, how do I prepare my team to be able to handle this kind of relationship developing process? I talked to a lot of small business owners, and I ask the same question, and I get the same answer more times than not. So, do you have a strategic plan? Oh, I've got a business plan. I don't need another business plan. I've got a business plan. That's not what I asked you. See, business plans are written for financial institutions to tell them whether or not you're solvent or if you are attractive enough to a potential buyer or partner to get to go into business with you. A strategic plan is written for you and your team. It has strategies and tactics that support the journey to fulfilling that strategy. The strategies, those tactics have due dates, they have assignments of who's responsible, and they tie back to your budget.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically keep you focused on the main thing, you know. A lot of people get distracted, but you have to keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, if you don't have some kind of documentation and you've got a dynamic organization, something gets lost in the sauce.
For sure.
And so now you're sitting there going, I think I remember I kind of thought, talk to Grant, maybe he remembers, because I don't remember that conversation. And all of a sudden you're picking at straws instead of really accomplishing the things that you need to accomplish to move the needle.
Ready to elevate your brand with five-star impact? Welcome to the Follow Brand Podcast, your gateway to exceptional personal growth and innovative business strategies. Join me as I unveil the insider strategies of industry pioneers and branding experts. Discover how to supercharge your business development, harness the power of AI for growth, and sculpt a personal brand that stands out in the crowd. Transform ambition into achievement. Explore more at firestartbdm.com for a wealth of resources. Ignite your journey with our Brave Brand Blueprint and begin crafting your standout five-star future today.
I think all these things we're talking about leads to now what we need to talk about is that you've got to be able to measure. You've got to be able to get the pulse of your business or your strategy or your leadership to know kind of where you're possibly missing the mark. Because if you don't, and this is an honest assessment, an honest measurement of where you're at, whether how you're utilizing that, maybe utilizing tools, maybe utilizing surveys, you're getting some feedback, but you've got to do that. Talk to me how you help your clients and more potential clients understand the importance of metrics.
Well, the first, when I sit down with a client, no matter how large or small they are, the first thing I do is I go in and I basically do an assessment. You know, one of the things that I learned in my career in corporate America, I worked for a company where they moved us around the country quite a bit. Every 2 years, they moved us pretty much to a different location. If you stayed at a location more than 3 to 5 years, then you were either not willing to move anymore or you were, you know, they called you a lifer. But anyway, when you walked into a new environment, one of the first things that one of my mentors told me is for the first 30 days, don't do anything. Just sit back and watch. And tell people just keep doing what you've always done. You know, there's a saying, if you do what you always did, you get what you always got.
Yeah.
And the only question is, are you happy with what you're getting? If you're not, you better make a change. So after the 30 days of assessing, then you start to say, okay, these are the things, you've got a list of things that need to be tweaked, kicked, or thrown out. You know, there's a saying, first you tweak it, then you kick it.
Okay. So,
after the 30 days, now you've got a little bit of an idea of what's very good, what's fair, and what's not working. And once you've made that assessment, the best thing for you to do is to sit down with the team, use the sandwich method, and say, here's what we do well. Here's what I think we need to improve on. And these are the things that I think we need to change. What I'd like is your input, feedback, and assistance on making those adjustments or changes. Once you get their buy-in, now it's no longer, man, I can't believe this guy, but this lady, here she comes, brand new in here. She's just going to throw us under the bus and tell us we got to do it her way or his way or her way. No, that's not what we're going to do. What we're going to do, we're going to decide our fate together.
Right.
We're going to look at our road and our journey together. And once we've determined that, then everybody's on the same page. I'm going to tell you a little story, if I can, for a minute. And this was for me. When I came to South Florida, my last hotel was a golf resort. And I had 8 salespeople on staff. And for the first week when I got there, I took every one of the salespeople on a ride in a golf cart. and I asked them three questions. Where are you in your career? Where do you want to go? And how can I help you get there?
Fair.
And I rode for an hour while they, and I listened to what they had to say. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very simple. Doesn't sound like much. I didn't think much of it. Fast forward. I left there when the market crashed and started my own business. Just when before the pandemic, I had to do a photo shoot. Okay. I told you I was in the hotel business.
Yeah.
One of the salespeople on my team was now a director at their own resort.
Nice.
And his name was Felix. I won't tell you his last name. I never called him Felix. I always called him Flex. He's a young guy, very, very young. So I called him up. I said, Flex, hey, man, I need a favor. He said, what do you need, Bill? I said, I need to do a photo shoot, and I'd like to do it in the presidential suite. Because they have like four presidential suites at this resort. At your resort. So, well, let me look. I said, I'm not looking for anything free. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I need enough space for my photographer and I to come up and take pictures. So, okay. So he called me back and he said, I don't have the presidential, but I have one of the premier suites available. It's a little smaller than the presidential, but has a nice balcony overlooking the beach and blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, fantastic. All right, Flex. So I get to the resort. And he meets me in the lobby. We hug each other because we hadn't seen each other in 10 years. And I said, so how's it going, man? How's everything? He said, good. I said, I wasn't sure if you'd remember me. This is what he said. He said, I can never forget you. Mm-hmm. I said, I said, you have more directors than me. He said, when I first met you, the first day I met you, you took me on a ride on a golf cart for an hour. And you asked me three questions. He said, I'll never forget it. Really? He said, and to this day, when I go into a new hotel or a new resort with a new team, I ask those three questions every time to the people on that team.
Nice.
It let me know that it wasn't about your agenda, but it was about how you could help me get to where I wanted to go. What does that mean? That means when people want to feel like you care.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
And when they feel about whether or not you care, they will go the extra mile for you. To tie it up in a nutshell, I said, okay, Felix. He said, call me when the photo shoot is over and I'll come back up. Tell your photographer to leave her car out front and I'll take care of her parking.
Yeah.
And your parking. So, okay. So he comes up after the photo shoot. I said, okay, let's go to the front desk so I can settle up.
Yeah.
Settle up. I said, yeah, I told you I didn't want this for free. He said, no, you can't pay for this. Parking ticket for you. Here's your parking ticket for your photographer. They said, if anytime you need something, let me know. That's the kind, now it's not because it's me, but that's the kind of results you get from little things. And that's what the culture of champions is all about.
Nice.
For 30 years, I watched people get promoted primarily for three reasons. Their fiduciary understanding, taking the top line and bringing that money to the bottom line and returning a profit. Their technological skills, their ability to stay abreast of new technology things and things that were changing, and their strategic thought process. Mm-hmm. They knew how to put together a strategic plan with strategies and tactics. Many of them got these tremendous promotions and a very high percentage of them failed miserably.
Wow.
Why? Because they had lost sight of the most important asset in their portfolio. And that was the people that they were entrusted to lead. It was not about the people skills that they needed to have to develop that environment. It was more about their own personal agenda of doing the best job that they thought they could do to get the next promotion.
That's gold. That is so golden to understand. Don't, you know, again, when you're doing measurement, you're doing metrics. Are you measuring the right things? Are you really looking at what makes things happen? How do you get the results? Well, especially in the business environment, the results are always done by the people. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't really honed in on the people, then whatever you're going to implement is not going to be implemented the way that you expected it. Here's the big question of the day I want to ask you. Big question now. We've got a huge technological change that has happened with artificial intelligence. And a lot of business plans that you probably did this time last year are now obsolete because of a new technology that's disrupting the way things are done. And it's created opportunity. At the same time, it has created a lot of anxiety. Around, am I being replaced? Am I not being replaced? Where do I fit in this whole new workforce environment? And as a leader, I would like you to talk to me as I'm the leader of a Fortune 500 company. I've got thousands of people that I am responsible for. Here's a new technology that, for the good, the bad, and the indifferent, is going to change the environment. What would you say to that individual?
Probably two things. Three things. Number one, the people who learn to master the new technology are going to be the people that will always have job security. What do I mean by that? You know, what you're talking about with AI, when I think that's primarily what you're talking about, is that AI can think for you. But for AI to work at its optimal level, you've got to teach it.
Right.
You've got to train it. You've got to give it information. So if you are afraid of it, and you run from it, and you fear it, then it now is training you. Okay? So if you don't fear it, and you gravitate to it, and you take it by the horns, and you learn how to master it, now you become invaluable. Because everybody doesn't do what you did, what you're doing. It's just like being a doctor. If it was easy to be a doctor, everybody'd be one. You have to go through some training. You got to go through some pain. You got to go through some change. You got to do some different stuff to be able to get there. But the question that I ask everybody, and if I was the CEO of that company, is, are you willing to do what needs to be done to get where you want to go?
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody's replaceable in their current state. If you're not willing to grow, then you become obsolete sooner or later. If you're not willing to change, you can be replaced sooner versus later. So the question is, what are you willing to do? How are you willing to take the bull by the horns? Are you willing to do what other people won't so tomorrow you can have what other people can't? It's up to us. It's up to you as an individual. And this is a conversation that you can have with every CEO.
Yeah.
You can have this same conversation with the lowest person on the totem pole. What are you willing to do to better yourself? Because if you don't, prime example, you know, Martin Luther King says, if you're going to be a sweet sweeper, be the best sweet sweeper that ever lived. But sooner or later, technology did away with sweet sweeper jobs. So now, if you were the sweet street sweeper, it was in your best interest to learn how to run the technology that replaced the street sweeper.
Right.
Okay. So it's the same adage in anything, you know. AI is your new VA. I know there's some VAs that just turned off your cereal, but I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. That's real. That's real. And that's what it's all about. We're speakers, trainers, and coaches. There was a time where we get on a stage for an hour. Nobody's going to sit there for an hour conversation anymore. You may get 20 minutes.
Correct.
So how do you make the adjustment to fit the new criteria?
The new paradigm. Yeah.
You know, I encourage people to read, and that's one of the things that a lot of people don't do. Stay abreast of what's going on. Stay on the forefront of what the changes that are happening. And you don't always have to read a book. Turn your car into a library. There's software called Audible. I love it.
That's right.
Okay. You can turn your car into a library instead of listening to this music that's getting you nowhere sometimes. Don't get me wrong, I'm a jazz lover and I love to relax. But the bottom line is at some point, I've got to make a choice. I've got to make a choice as to how I exercise the most powerful muscle in my body, my brain.
We are going to conclude here. This has been wonderful, Dalton. And before we do that, I want the audience to understand your business and understand what they can gain by working with you to make sure that they truly understand the value that you're bringing to them in today's world.
My business is about helping people who are in leadership roles, officially, unofficially, or however, to be the best that they can be, to realize their true potential, and to recognize the skills and the qualities that are out there that are making a change in the new millennium. We've got, in the workforce right now, we've got generations of people who look at things and think differently. So how do we prepare ourselves to deal with those individuals or deal with the unknown? Because we don't know what the next generation is going to bring, but they're coming.
That's true.
And so therefore, we have to understand it. That's why I created the Culture of Champions, because it's about creating a culture where we can focus on those individuals that are coming, those individuals that are in existence, and those individuals like me that are, you know, been around for a while. So we're all in this together. So what do? If we, who've been around for a while, understand how to deal with those who are coming or just starting and help mentor them without trying to police them, then we've got a chance in turning this ship in a positive way. So that's really what my focus is. That's really what I've written my books on. I write books and I teach and I train on the subject of leadership and creating a culture where people feel celebrated, not tolerated, where people know that it's not about me, it's about we.
Yes. It's
about moving the envelope for everybody. And when everybody wins, I win.
Hey, I like a culture of champions. And being a winner, and winners learn from winners. Someone said, how many champions you know that didn't have a coach? You've got to have a coach to help you, which, again, what you said earlier, to bring out your full potential. I really, really, really like that. Tell us how to get in contact with you in the best possible way.
Well, there's a couple of things. One of the things you talked about as far as a coach, the Culture of Champions is a community.
Yeah.
Not about me pontificating my brilliance. It's about a community of surrounding yourself with people just like you that are aspiring to be the best that they can be. So we created the Culture of Champions community. If you're interested in the Culture of Champions community, go to cultureofchampions.world. and register to become a member of the Culture of Champions community. The other way to get in touch with me, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you a gift because I really, and I told Grant this before, I believe in this, and that the first person to give wins. So I'm going to give you something because you've already given to me. You've given me your time and your attention for this time period that I've been here as a guest on Grant's show. So if you text the word Culture of Champions, Culture of Champions to 954-787-1619, 954-787-1619, text the word Culture of Champions, your full name, and your email address, I'm going to send you a free gift from me to you as a thank you for being here tonight and spending time with me. Now, if you want to send me an email, you can send me an email to Velton@leadershipdynamicsinternational.com. That's Velton, V as in Victor, ELTON at leadershipdynamicsinternational.com.
Yes, this has been wonderful, Velton, sharing with me today as we are going in, 2024. Great conversation, great perspective. Got a little taste of your philosophy. Definitely going to pick up that book and read through that. So important to get the perspectives, get the motivation, get the, there you go. There we go. There you go. There it is, leadership. I like that. So those that are seeing us some are listening on the podcast, some will see this on the broadcast. So he's got a nice book out on leadership. Definitely encourage you to get that. I'm sure that's available on Amazon and others.
Yeah, it's available on Amazon and it's available on Audible.
Nice. Oh, wow. Look at that. All right. So you can listen to it on your way to wherever you're going. Great opportunity there. I encourage your entire audience to tune into all the episodes of Follow Brand, where we have a library of professionals like Velton talking about the subjects that you can get involved in and understand perspectives about personal branding, business development, career development, financial empowerment, technology innovation, and branding. How to exude executive presence like Velton does. This is so important that we've had this library of information there. There's over 150 episodes. So you have the opportunity to learn from those who have done it. I want to thank you again for being on the Follow Brand podcast, and I look forward to working with you again. Thank you so much, Velton.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us on the Follow Brand podcast. Big thanks to Full Effect Productions for their incredible support on each and every episode. Now the journey continues on our YouTube channel, Follow Brand TV series. Dive into exclusive interviews, extended content, and bonus insights that will fuel your success. Subscribe now and be a part of our growing community, sharing and learning together. Explore, engage, and elevate at Follow Brand TV series on YouTube. Stay connected, stay inspired. Till next time, we will continue building a 5-star brand that you can follow.